peaceful and beautiful and physical and angry all at the same time.
Were you, idiot? Your mind would cave in and your heart would explode within your chest.
This is going to be a shame.
Here we go!
Away we go, episode 1274 of the Talkin' Audio Podcast, coming to you from our studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. Matt Robinson, Rob Christie, what's happening, man?
You know I'm partial to the Bytown bit, eh?
Yeah.
I'm big on that.
Well, I think I told you Mendez was giving me some pushback on that a couple months ago.
Yeah, Lee was giving you a bit of pushback, too, on whatever he
I don't even respond to that anymore. He's pushing back on everything.
Well, and the thing with Lee is...
here we go. This could be anything.
No, Lee, I got no bones with Lee. I got no axe to grind.
Okay.
I just found it interesting when he was in Europe and he was talking about, know your history, people. Portugal, end of the world. Know your history. Mm-hmm. Well, you're underestimating the intelligence of our listenership. When you say Bytown, nobody knows what you're talking about with Bytown.
Right.
Crack a fucking history book. Bytown. It's right there.
I think Ian's problem is this would not have been the original Bytown.
I have no issue with Mendez. He's salt of the earth people.
Yeah.
So, Bytown. I love it. It's close and dear, near and dear to my heart.
Well, speaking of Ian, when he was in here a couple weeks ago, he posted a picture of the Michelob Ultra he was drinking in the studio. And in the background, and there is a piece or two like this in the studio, he happened to catch some Leafs paraphernalia in the background of his photo.
I thought it was going to be a Trish Stratus thing.
There is some Trish Stratus Maple Leaf paraphernalia in here. He posts that to say, you know, looking forward to, or picked out my beer for the Talkin' Audio Podcast. And someone replied immediately underneath and said, what the hell is that in the background? Right. To this, this little Leaf image.
Yep.
And, famous on Sen's Twitter, a guy named James Wood, who's for some reason currently going by the handle Big Daddy Hammy. He replies and he goes, as far as I know, or he goes, Talkin' Audio is a Leaf fan. As far as I can tell, that's his only flaw. Oh. James Wood will be in studio this week to do the podcast, and he will learn quickly. I have many flaws.
Yeah.
I have many flaws.
That is, anyways, don't sell yourself short there.
No. But I think we would agree. I have more than just the one flaw.
This will be the battle of the Big Daddy Hams.
This is going to be something. And we've had some listeners and some followers in the past suggest that this needed to happen. We've just never gone ahead with it. But now that the Sens have completed a third road trip this year where they have gone four games or more without a win, I figure it's safe this week to have them in here.
13-1 west of the Eastern Standard Time Zone.
It's tough going, man.
Yikes!
So look for that. I think on Tuesday morning, Big Daddy Hammy will make his TCA debut. I know he's a big craft beer guy. I got to get to the bottom of that handle, though.
I thought it was going to be hardwood. Why would you not? Like, what's your big wood? Like, why? Like, it's right there, man. It's waiting.
Yeah.
Or maybe you want to draw attention away from the lack
Or kilometers wood.
Yeah, hardwood.
Yeah, no, miles wood. Kilometers would, if you'd have been traded north of the border.
Got ass for a week, dick for days. Like, what's happening here?
Okay.
That's where we're at.
Let's have a beer.
Yes.
That's what we need right now.
Clearly.
What do you got going on?
I'm going to dip into some of that sweet Lake of Bays grab bag that everybody else is, recently enjoying here. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Wait. Mm-hmm. Wait, it's over. I guess that's not happening. It's all right. I understand. You can't have beers for everyone.
So it was interesting the way she framed that when she came in here.
The B talent needs to be fed.
She was talking. Okay.
Sorry,
she was
Bunda,
talking about. Yeah, her and Bunda have connected online a couple times and have traded things. So she was sending in something, and then she kind of as a throwaway, she's like, "And I don't want to hear Lee complaining." So.
Okay. Well. Then there you go. So I will not be drinking a lake. I feel like I'm going to channel my inner Brock Lesnar here in a second.
Yeah.
But
I'm
going to
go home and climb on top of your old lady.
And I'm going to drink a Coors Light because Bud Light ain't ever done shit for me. Yeah, that being said, I am drinking something out of the beautiful Forest City today. Storm State Brewing. This is the Burnout Baltic Porter.
Yes. Baltic Porter. All right.
Yeah. So
what do you suppose the what makes it Baltic?
Well, it's traditionally made with more Baltic ingredients.
Yeah. Okay.
No, that's absolutely a thing.
Yeah.
It comes in, they say, slightly at a lower alcohol than your Imperials, made for the further overland trip to the Tsar's Imperial. So that is the difference, right? So this comes in at 8.4. And so they also say that it should be a little smoother in terms of the flavor, but less roasty.
I like the roasty.
I do love – well, that's why I am more of a stout, stout two porter guy.
Right.
Right? And it's traditionally the stout with the roasty coffee versus the – and it's the roasted malt versus the unroasted malt, right? That is the difference between your stout and your porter.
Yeah.
So that's why one ends up being a little sweeter. The porter tends to be a little more chocolatey than your roasty coffee – stout.
Sure.
Right. And so that comes down to the roasting of the malts. So.
Okay.
So this is, like I said, 8.4. Now again.
That's less. That's a little lower, is it?
Well, in terms of some of the Imperials, yeah, they can be upwards of 11.
Yeah.
Right. So this comes in at 8.4.
Yeah.
They have done Rob the disservice of sending it along in a small can.
Yeah.
So Rob
it's becoming all too common here.
Rob has doubled up. There is. Two small cans here. So we'll see how this all
one of these days
shakes loose. Well, I've already taken runs at, I don't know,
lots of people. So,
but I'm a happy guy, and we're loving the day.
Yeah,
it's shitty weather outside, but I was not supposed to be in studio today.
Right.
So
sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
So I let you down. I dropped the ball.
I'm like, you know what? I like a couple of beers and shooting the shit on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes seeing Matt, that's okay too.
Sometimes, yeah.
So it was like an unlooked for gift. So I'm here having a couple of beers.
Yeah.
What do you got going on over there?
Like I said, I apologize to everybody for dropping the ball. And I have to force that in there because I am drinking something called the Ball Dropper 2023.
Some of us are still waiting for balls to drop.
So I wrote down three different lines that Rob might respond with when I announce the name of this beer. And that was the first one. Oh, has that happened?
No. Anybody hears your voice fully understands that they've probably dropped.
About knee level.
Yeah. Now, whether they're being put into good use.
Right. Well, that's up for some discussion.
Counterbalance.
One of my many flaws.
Yeah. They're heavy.
All right. Let's move along.
They're well shoven.
The Ball Dropper 2023.
Everyone loves a pair of smooth criminals.
It's the New Year's Eve.
Oh, my God.
You've had like one sip of this 8.5.
I haven't had any yet.
This is their New Year's pint.
All right.
Dropping the ball. Your balls. I don't remember anything about it suddenly. No, it's coming in at 6.8%. It's a little fruity, but it's a little apricot to it, maybe more than anything else. But it's not overly hoppy, which is kind of a bummer. But as they creep up a little bit, this is 6.8%. It's not quite into that, double dry hopped territory yet of 8 or 9, but it is a little higher than the standard kind of run of the mill 5.5 or whatever. So. This one was one that dates back to, I think I mentioned several weeks ago, I went over to Beyond the Pale and grabbed a few things. So This was one of those, and just getting to it now. So the Ball Dropper 2023 IPA.
This is delicious.
Okay.
This Burnout Baltic Porter. To me, it is, I'm not getting boozy from it at all, mm-hmm. although the listener will be the judge of that by the end of this. It has all the hallmarks. It's not as sweet as I would have expected. And the sweetness will be subtle. It's not an over-the-top kind of thing, but this is very smooth and easily drinkable.
Hearing Jimmy Eat World's sweetness in the back.
I love that song.
Yeah. As you know,
Matt is
all about the Jimmy Eat World.
It's true. That's a real band, ladies and gentlemen. A real band.
For sure. I guess the first thing to get into, and it'll no doubt take us into a few different directions, but this is the first show we've done since the NHL trade deadline on Friday at 3 o'clock. And I don't know that there's anybody who was a bigger winner than the Vegas Golden Knights. I don't know how much you followed it while you were at work on Friday, listening to
quite a bit.
Yeah. That dropped at like 258. Bob McKenzie, calling himself these days the hockey outsider, off the top rope with the biggest trade of the day, scoops all the current day insiders just to flex once more before he said he was actually going to the studio right back to the airport, fly back to Florida where he'd spent the winter. Breaks the biggest trade of the day. Thomas Hertl, 6 years left on his contract. I think it's a $6.8 million. Maybe that's after the salary retention. But going from San Jose to Vegas, and we've seen a few moves like this, not the least of which being Pete DeBoer. And I remember that being a story because there was a bit of a rivalry there when San Jose was still, you know, clocking in and being a big contender out there in the West. And there was a pretty heated rivalry, and now you've seen some pieces move from
People
San Jose.
Getting 5 minute majors for things that didn't really happen.
And blowing three goal leads in that 1 5 minute major.
Yes.
So I don't think anyone saw that coming. People were pissed. It comes on the heels of, in that final week, Vegas went out and got Anthony Mantha, Noah Hanifin, and Thomas Hertl, and seemingly just decided, what salary cap, right? Got it done. It, of course, brought up the LTIR discussion again. I don't know how much you care about that.
I care a lot about it, actually.
Okay. What did you think of the trade itself and the fact that...
Do you remember what San Jose got in return? I was underwhelmed. I don't off the top of my head.
So I don't remember the guy's name, but it was a first-round pick, which is going to be a very low first-round pick in 2025.
Yeah, it's not this year because Vegas came out of it with all that still with its first.
That's right. So it's 2025 first round pick. Your Scott Wheelers and your prospect experts were saying a B+ prospect. And in return, they get Thomas Hertl and 2 third round picks. And San Jose maintains 17% or retains 17% of the.
Yeah.
So it feels an awful lot like Mike Greer got fleeced pretty bad here.
Because to me, if you look at the Meyer one last year, you look at what they're doing out there, and I get it. This year, the returns have been low on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Right? But, man, if you don't have the deal you're looking for this year, hold on to Hertl.
What was the urgency?
You got 6 more years, Matt. That's the urgency. I got to get out from underneath that.
I guess.
But and you're retaining money for 6 more years? I just...
6 years. No one's ever done that. No one has ever retained money for 6 years. And I get it. It's only 17%. But it's also, you only get to hold on to you only have 3 slots to retain. Yeah. And so you've decided for the next 6 years, we're willing to tie one of them up. And you gave them 2 third round picks?
it's ridiculous.
It's a terrible deal for San Jose.
It's a terrible deal.
Unless their owner has said to him, look, get that out the door, I guess.
But you know, like Hertl has been far and away their best player this year.
Yeah. Well, when he's been healthy.
Yeah, yeah. And likewise with Couture, when he's healthy.
Yeah.
But that hasn't been the case there.
Right.
And I understand you want that off the books. Yeah. Hertl comes back next year and continues to do what he does, he will be a valued commodity with a higher cap next year and people knowing that the following year, it's likely going to be higher again. The whole idea, hey, we want this guy. We get 2 playoff runs with this guy. You get 7 playoff runs with this guy. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, and I don't understand why you had to give Vegas 2 third round picks. I would have also said, like, I'm not keeping any. Look, we'll trade him now if you want him, but I'm not keeping any money. And I understand maybe the deal doesn't get done, but that's Vegas's problem, not yours. Like, they're the ones who want him now to contend.
Else. Find somebody else who will retain.
Right.
There's enough other people. And if you look at
especially, like you said, find a third team.
Yeah.
And if you're only asking. Now, I don't know, even at only 17%, who else is willing to. I don't know what the hell you guys think you're doing. We're not retaining anybody for 6 years for you. That is the third team in is normally a. you know, hey, on year. A rental yeah. or 1 year at the most. Yeah.
I'll give you $1.25 million.
Because who can foresee what, like, if you went to Chicago and said, you know, you got the space, you got whatever, they're in 6 years, they're counting on being done their rebuild. I know San Jose maybe isn't counting on being done theirs, but who else would you get to, like, you'd have to really sweeten that. So that's a problem too. But I just, this came out of nowhere, and I like it for Vegas because it was a, they get the guy, they got them to retain, and they didn't give up all that much. But I don't know why San Jose felt any need to get that done today. Otherwise, unless, like I said, they've been told, get as much salary out of here as you can.
Well, if we're going to retain, why are we giving you anything?
Right. Right.
For your B-plus prospect.
Yeah.
And a first, that, as you suggest, is going to be a mid-20s pick.
Yep.
Now, next year, who knows? But I just...
But they go out, and they also get Hanifin and Mantha.
See, I don't really understand the Hanifin thing. He's a good player, like, and you can't have too much talent.
Yeah, they're blue lines.
What is the most stacked part of their team as it is right now?
It's already the blue line, but...
It's already the blue line, and now who...
But it's an old blue line, and if I'm sure they're counting on, can we convince him to stay? Because all the talk was he wanted to go to Tampa. Maybe he would consider going to Florida in terms of a deal that Calgary could make that would come with an extension. I bet you Vegas is counting on, yeah, we'll get him in here, and... You know, when Alec Martinez, who's getting up there, steps away.
I think he's done this year. He's off the books this year.
So maybe we could talk him into staying. It's a tax-free state. It's a good team. We take good care of our players. I bet you their idea is we'll talk him into staying. Let's just get him in here for now. And I wouldn't be surprised if it works.
I just wondered when center is their biggest need.
Yeah.
And it really went mostly on, like, yeah, you get one of the top two gems of the free agency in Hanifin.
Yep.
It's kind of though like I'm adding to a strength when, and I get people say, oh yeah, well you can never have enough defensemen, but you've got, like, it's not like when Chicago won their last one or when Pittsburgh won in 2016 or, and you're like, we got three defensemen and we're
Kimmo Tiimonen's just trying to stay alive out
yeah,
there.
And we're just, it's terrible, but you've done it on three defensemen. You now have seven deep ones. It just is like it's a luxury where maybe they didn't need. It's like adding because it was there.
But if you looked around, you know, could they have gotten in on Henrique?
Yeah.
Could they, like, there wasn't a lot of top end centers out there.
No, but if they got in on Henrique or Monahan earlier,
yeah.
Like they did most of their work in the last couple of days.
Yep.
Like the last 3 days is when they did all their.
Well, if you're going to be cap crunching the way they are. You needed to wait as long as you could, I guess.
No, I know. But the problem is, the longer you wait, as you see. But if you're going to get Mike Greer to...
How about you hold on to 23%? That'll buy us an extra couple days.
How about we get Henrique and Monahan to both go through San Jose and see what else you'll
use
give us.
Use up all three of your slots.
And give us picks.
Right.
We're doing this for you, Mike Greer. It's crazy. Like, so to me, I don't love... It's nice. And don't get me wrong, he's a great player. But to me, it's like you've added... When you needed something somewhere else, they should have done, if they really wanted to make it the chef's kiss, I would like to have seen them with a little more.
I hear you, but I just love how aggressive they are all the time. Just like, fuck it, we're doing it. The best players out there, we're going to go get them. And they usually do. The other thing that this forces me to, or gets me to a point where I never want to hear from another GM that, trading in the division's too hard. You can't do it. Well, you know what? You just went and got Hanifin from Calgary, and they just went and got Hurdle from maybe their biggest rival in the league in San Jose. Just do your job. Shut up and do your job. Because McCrimmon out there is doing his job. I forget the name. He moved, it's George McPhee who moved up. Brad McCrimmon
crazy
is the
George
GM.
McPhee.
Yeah, crazy George McPhee. They're just doing it, and they're not overpaying. They're not. You can hate, like I said, and we can move into this now if you want, on the cap thing. There is a circumvention discussion to be had here. I, as a Leaf fan, am not going to get overly defensive about it or whatever, but they're just saying if these are the best players available this year, they go and get them. They went and got Mark Stone. They went and got Max Pacioretty. They went and got Jack Eichel. They went and got Alex Pietrangelo. If they're out there, if there's a good player out there, Vegas is going to go get them.
Yeah, and there's two things here. I am not one of those people that have a hate on for Vegas, at least anymore. I think when they won the cup, you're like, okay, that ship sailed.
Right.
Right. No sense hating on those guys and saying your fan base doesn't deserve it. No, they've been ultra aggressive, and they have, whatever you feel about the LTIR and the circumvention, that they've done nothing illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been, as I said, ultra aggressive. And so I don't blame them. And I actually tip the hat to Kelly McCrimmon. You go, man, how do you do that?
Oh, what's Kelly McCrimmon? I think I said Brad.
And Brad, sorry, has...
Yes, he is not doing a lot right now.
No. So Yak, too, I believe. It comes down to, you tip the cap
mm-hmm.
to those guys for that. Elliot Friedman touched on it in headlines on Saturday night, just as sort of at the end in the throwaway. And in terms of if your players are injured and you can still qualify for the playoffs, whatever. I think the simplest way around this is to put a cap. You have to be cap compliant in the playoffs. Like, to me, it's not you have to dress a roster that is at or below the cap.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. Like, to me, that is the
20 players in that night's roster that fits fits under the cap.
Yeah. Now, again, that's...
You want to go further with the 21, 22 black aces? How many are you carrying?
They do inflate it for the playoffs, right? You are allowed to carry
They've one. Inflated it right now. Like, as soon as the deadline's over, you can carry as many people on your roster, but they still have to fit under the cap, whereas in the playoffs, they don't. So if you can fit 23 guys under your cap from now till the end of the season, they let you do it. It's just... But I hear what you're saying, and I've seen a bunch of stupid ideas. Not
Thank
necessarily.
You very much. I'm going to pat myself on the back.
Well, because he was saying, like, people are upset. If you can, you know, if you can't play in game 82, but you can play in game 1 of the playoffs, you know, that shouldn't be okay. Well, what if the guy legitimately did just get a stinger off his boot in game 8? Or you decide, I'm not sending Connor McDavid out for game 82 if it doesn't matter. So it's not as simple.
I don't win for that.
No, I hear what you're saying. Yours isn't unreasonable in that, look, if we're running a cap all year, your playoff roster should probably resemble, you know, what your regular season.
It should not be $17 million over.
Yeah. And, like, I think, as a Leaf guy, like I said, I expect my team will and should use every loophole available to them. But when you do what Tampa did and wore the T-shirt afterward that said and rubbed it in everyone's faces that you were $18 million over the cap. I can't remember which team it was last year complained and maybe shouldn't have. But afterwards said that team that we just faced had a $92 million cap hit in round one of the playoffs. And so I understand the frustration. But it's not as simple as just, well, if he was hurt in game 82, he's obviously still hurt in game 1. No, not necessarily.
You can't, because to me that is, we don't know, as you suggest. You can't address the unknown,
right?
Which is health.
Right.
And there's always a 2 or 3 day break.
What if the guy's just got the flu? Misses game 82, not allowed to dress for the first 3 games of the playoffs?
So it doesn't change what we know, which is, in certain situations,
it is being manipulated.
It is being manipulated. But we all know that.
Yes, 100%.
And so at this point, we all understand that.
And as long as the rules look like that,
correct,
I won't object to anybody abusing it.
Right. And so to me, it is. But we know when Mark Stone has
it's his spleen this year.
Like a lacerated spleen. And I'm like, that sounds not good.
What's the timeline on? It's April 17th. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know why.
But it is all those things. You did that last year. And,
right.
And whether it was Kucherov or mm-hmm. it's
Patrick Kane was the first
Patrick
one, right?
Kane, right?
Who was, like, everyone understood was healthy like 3 weeks before the season ended. But I'll just hang out over here. You guys finish up and I'll see you for game 1.
That you understand that there is so much money more available to you to make these kinds of trades. And so, to me, it makes a bit of a mockery of the system
mm-hmm.
that you then roll into the playoffs and go, that thing that you were constrained by all season that we sort of gives us the competitive balance is out the window when at the most important time of the season.
I don't have an objection to that. And if they decide to close that up in the next CBA, okay, it's another thing for Toronto to work around, which again is the lens I view the league through.
Yeah, of course.
But I won't. those will be the rules, and we're all playing by the same rules, and off we go. And right now, these are the rules, so you do this in that case, right? Well, so
if I was a Tampa fan or a Vegas fan or a Leaf fan or, heaven forbid,
Rangers,
Montreal was any good, that you had that opportunity, you go, I don't care about Ottawa.
Right.
I don't care about Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And your willingness or lack of willingness or lack of ability to spend.
Right.
That's not my fault.
Right.
I'm a fan of
I've already
team.
Got the cap because of you.
Yeah.
If I can get around it, I'm going to.
No. Those people are there for the bottom, the ceiling of the cap, right? That's why that cap is there at the bottom. You can only go this low. And so I get it. I get it how fans of other teams.
Yeah.
But if we're going to operate under these rules for 6 months.
Yes.
And this is
I don't disagree with that.
You make it in or you don't make it in based on this. But now that you're in, fuck it.
Throw the doors open.
Everybody's
into
in.
The pool, man.
Whatever. And so to me, it's got to be the 22 guys you carry. On a game night, you have to go, here's my 22 guys. Bam. Under the cap.
What about your black aces? Because everybody carries an extra 5 or 8 guys around.
On game day, you got to declare your roster.
Yeah.
And that includes
But at that
extras.
Point, why? So why do I have to declare 2 extras, but the extra 4 or 5 that are still with us?
How many?
Because I'm not going to use those extra 2 guys on game night.
How many guys? And when you take a look at Cap Friendly, how many guys are on your roster? It's the number of contracts you can carry, right? On your roster at a time.
Yeah, but some of those are in the minors. That doesn't count in the playoffs.
That's way at the bottom. When you look at the 82.5, they're not counting the guys down in Belleville or playing for the Marlies.
No, okay, but you said contracts.
I know, but how many NHL contracts?
But we've seen teams for nights go with fewer skaters because they couldn't afford.
Because they can't afford it.
Yeah. So if we're keeping the cap in place, wouldn't I just go with the bare minimum on game night? 6D, 2 goalies, 12 forwards.
They can't afford it, though, not because...
Because of the cap.
And they have injuries.
Yeah.
They have injuries, and they've put themselves
in
a position. Yep. So all I'm saying is you have those black aces still. I'm merely suggesting on game day. On game day, you go, here's my 22 guys.
But how would you pick? Would you then not just pick your cheapest 2 black aces and put them as your... And why do you care about game day? Because they're not going to be in the lineup. Like, that's the difference. When you, in the regular season, when you travel out west, you got to take a D in case somebody gets hurt because you're not going to... In the playoffs, you're already dragging these extra guys around.
Yeah, yeah.
You either have to count them all or count none of them.
Yeah, and I'm merely suggesting that it has to be because that is the only way if you go, yeah, well, I'm going to start... I can continually load up with guys... If it's only going to be the 20 that I dress, that just means, yeah, sorry, tonight, Hannafin, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't dress.
Right.
You go, okay, but that's.
But I would then leave him
bucks.
On my Black Aces taxi squad and put someone
that he doesn't
who's making
dress,
league minimum.
Doesn't play that night.
Yeah. Well, we already.
Okay. And if he doesn't play that night,
yeah.
Then it doesn't affect. So it's fine. If you were willing to not dress him, that's fine.
Right. But you never have 22 guys on the bench.
No, I know.
You have 20.
I know. And so all I'm saying is on game day, you have to say, here's my 22
here's my,
guys in case there's.
Why is it 22?
Well, just
you're not gonna,
for the reason you just stated. If you have a flu bug, somebody at the beginning, you got to pull somebody out of those 2 spots. This is just a theory that I'm proposing.
Yeah.
It can be tweaked.
You don't have to declare your cap compliant roster every day until 5 p.m. By then, you know if a guy's not going to be ready to go for 7 p.m. So
let's just all I'm saying is if you went with just the 20 skaters. As opposed to whatever it is you can normally carry, which is 20, 22?
I think you're allowed up to 23.
23.
But lots of teams now, because of the cap, carry just 21 or 2.
Yeah, including your perennial contenders, Ottawa Senators.
Sure.
Right there, tight against
up
the cap.
Up against it, yeah.
So that to me is all it is it keeps the balance.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to negotiate. So when you're looking at 23 roster spots taking up that 82.5, if you lop 3 spots off... That has suddenly again become you have more expensive players throughout your roster.
I'm just saying if you're still going to have a 23-man roster that you have to declare every day and your black aces who won't have to be on the cap, if I know Hannafin can't play today because he's got a stomach bug, he's a black ace today. He's not on my...
Correct.
And tomorrow, if he's feeling better, he drops back into my thing and I move someone else back.
Sure.
Out,
so. And it's not perfect.
Yeah.
But that is... I am looking... That is kind of the model I'm willing to massage and work around on.
Right. We look around on some of the other moves that were made. Who did you Who else did you think were winners on – we can get to the losers. I have thoughts on them as well.
Always got thoughts on losers. I think you got to look at – and it's a toss-up for me in terms of who's next on the list. And I think these other two teams may rival Vegas. To me, the Hanifin thing is a bit of a – it's while not a step back or a dent in their I'm just not as enthused as on that. I look at Colorado and Winnipeg, right, as the two teams that I look at what they did and go, I really like what happened there.
Yeah.
And I sort of...
Well, so Winnipeg goes out and brings in Tyler Toffoli, and a few weeks ago brought in Sean Monahan, which I said was going to work out terribly, he's got 8 goals in like 13 games since then.
Now,
so
I don't know if he scored last night. But
no, he did not. They got blown out in Vancouver on Saturday night.
5-1, I believe.
Colorado went out and traded Bowen Byram for Casey Mittelstadt, which is a fascinating hockey trade.
Yeah.
And also got rid of Ryan Johansson, sent him to Philly, but brought in Sean Walker, a right-handed D that's going to help them. A couple of nice deadlines for those two teams.
See, and to me, the other thing is I look at, and it's a super depth move too, but Winnipeg also brought in Colin Miller.
Yep.
Again, as a right shot D, down obviously as a 6 and 7 guy, but for a team that is looking to go, that's a nice bit of business when everybody's looking for a right shot D.
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
Yep, they were. You know any of those guys, Matt?
I know some guys.
Could have used some. But you got a left shot D there. That's nice.
Yeah.
Losers. Yes. Check back in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. To me, the idea that you can put in leading up to the deadline, you can put Monahan and Toffoli.
Yeah.
Two guys who are both like 8 and 9 time 20 or more goal scorers.
And Toffoli, you didn't have to give up almost
nothing.
Right.
Yeah. No.
I was annoyed by that one too with my losers.
And so to me, the fact that you go, I could just essentially have remade my second line or whatever that looks like with a couple of really nice complementary pieces.
Yeah.
And neither one of those guys are frontliners, but man, I like what Winnipeg did in a much more casual kind of, not as much splash.
No, but substantial moves, right?
Toffoli, there's lots there.
Yeah, you bring in, and we already touched on Monahan and what he's already brought to them. Toffoli comes in. That's a guy who easily could put up 3-4 goals in a playoff series and swing it for you, right? Like,
yeah,
whether he's going to play on the second or third line. And this is now a team that is more depth-oriented than star-oriented, but it is deep, right? They went out and got Gabe Vilardi, and like he's contributed quite nicely there as all part of that deal. Kapari was a part of that, playing a little lower in the lineup. I follow. And so, like, that deal, it sounds like LA was already trying to offload PLD, and Winnipeg's looking at it going, this has gone pretty well for us.
Hey, Boston, will you take him for... Oh, no, you won't.
Yeah, apparently not. I liked their deadline a lot as well. I'm curious what you think, just briefly, on that Casey Mittelstadt for Bowen Byram trade. I really like it for Buffalo, what they're building there on a young blue line with Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin and Matthias Samuelsson. I'm not sure long-term how that's going to go because they're all lefties. But you'll figure it out, and if nothing else, you have another key piece that you can deal if you need to. I am surprised Colorado thought Casey Mittelstadt is ready to be their number two center on a long playoff run because he's had some struggles there. It hasn't really worked in Buffalo. I like long-term the idea that their program can get him to a better place, but I'm not sure this year if he's ready to carry the mail at 2C.
Like, Casey Mittelstadt is a guy who, coming out of the World Juniors, when he was there, he's a big guy, and he was supposed to be the thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there was so much hype on that guy.
Sabres fans were coming hard at Leaf fans, who at the time, we still had Matthews, Tavares, Kadri. They were saying Eichel, O'Reilly, Mittelstadt, within 3 years, would be dominating the Leafs. Now, we got rid of Kadri, but all three of their guys are now elsewhere, and
how's that
hasn't
going?
Quite panned out.
Well, and so to me, a couple years ago, Mittelstadt was still in Rochester.
Yeah.
Like, that's a guy who's been up and down, up and down, has really failed to meet the mark there. So it is a great hockey trade.
Yeah.
But I looked at, and it's funny because last week Lloydy on the morning show was talking about the same thing and he actually was the first to draw my attention to the fact that, yeah, as you suggested, like an Ottawa problem.
Yeah.
You've now loaded up one side and you've left the other side kind of barren. And I get it. People say, grab the talent, grab the talent. Yeah. You can always do something.
Like we talked about with Chychrun. Great trade in a vacuum. You use those assets on a thing maybe you didn't need.
Exactly. Yeah. Hello, Hannafin.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you're looking to use that as a chip again and go, I'm going to move something out to get something else, that's fine. I think the Byram becomes something else.
Hmm.
I think Colorado is looking to hold on to Mittelstadt and sort of nurture that on. I think Byram it turns into something. Whether he stays and somebody else goes.
The talk seemed to be that he already was seeing himself boxed in Colorado. And look, he's not there yet, but wanted to be eventually the guy on whatever team he was going to be on. And behind Cale Makar and Devin Taves, that was not going to happen in Colorado. So he goes to, now, Buffalo's already got some big horses back there too. This isn't a slam dunk. He's going to be the guy there either, but it's a change of scenery.
If you listen to the Buffalo media, I think there was some,
there was some
people who weren't enamored with Darlene's season this year.
Right.
He was their all-star rep, but if you listen to some of the local media, they're saying he was not the most deserving guy of that. So I think there was some people who felt like his position was sort
up for grabs.
Well, and was kind of given on reputation more than who deserved
merit,
it this season.
Yeah,
so I'm not saying Darlene's out the door.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but I think there's more room to do. And if you look at Buffalo like Ottawa, there's way more than Mittelstadt for Byram that needs to happen there in terms of of tweaking and managing and changing of your core.
Mm-hmm.
That this is clearly the first sign that they were like, yeah, okay, well, we can make an actual hockey trade and make this happen. But yeah, I like what they've done too. Sean, have you seen anybody?
Well, if I could just draw you back on to the same pit, do you think Mittelstadt is ready to be a 2C on a cup contender? I'm not saying Ryan Johansson was any better suited for it, but
have you seen anybody with a bigger fall from grace?
Yeah.
I don't actually.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens, right?
Like I said, long term, get him in your program and get your people working with him. I think that's going to pan out well. But for this year's playoff run, I'm not sure that he is better than Johansson. Maybe will be. I don't different than Johansson, but
I think not being Johansson isn't of itself an upgrade.
Yeah.
Right?
No, you're right about that, because there was some people talking publicly that it might have been Devin Taves, now that I think about it, back maybe in November, saying
some people here aren't as good as they think they are.
Yeah. We got guys who think they're working hard who are not. And you're like, oh, there's that one new guy who's, I think it's him. I think he's talking about
him. I think it's you. I think it's you he's talking about, Matt. Oh, you're not there.
No.
Oh, that's here.
It's true. I'm not. One of my many flaws. Yes.
I think, but it's one thing to say a guy with that kind of the physical tools that Mittelstadt has.
Yeah.
You get him out of Buffalo.
Yes.
And you get him in there and see what that looks like. I think we've seen a pile of guys who've got to a new location, fresh environs, and things change, right? And Casey Mittelstadt kind of screams.
I think so, too.
I'm not this anymore, right?
I think long-term, this is a great deal for them. I'm not sure it helps them all that much.
So in terms of Ryan Johansson and a guy who, man, Nashville was retaining some money.
Yep.
Johansson gets signed there, gets traded there, and he's going to be your 2C at $4 million. And you're like, all right. Now they're willing to flip him for a guy who, in contrast, I'm not sure there's been somebody whose stock has risen more than Sean Walker's.
Yeah.
Who was a guy, I think he was in LA last year. Was he in LA? Yeah.
I don't know if it was last year, but he was in LA. Yeah.
And that was like, okay, he's a right shot D, and there's this, and now he's being flipped for
first round pick
when those were rare as hen's teeth.
And again, the first rounder is partly to pay for you taking Johansson.
Yeah, who then
gets waived immediately.
Yeah, Briere says, beat it.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that's a 31-year-old guy who 2 years ago had 60-odd points. And now he's like, yeah, we'll see you playing for the Phantoms.
Or Lehigh Valley.
Or the Lehigh Valley, whatever you're called.
Yeah.
Is
there anyone else you thought were winners or that really stood out to you? The only other team I might mention, and one's a gamble, one I think's a reasonable slam dunk, is Carolina, who go out and get Jake Guentzel. And they didn't – like they took – or they dealt away B prospects. But that's – I don't think they wanted B necessarily. But Pittsburgh wanted guys who can maybe help them by like 2026 as opposed to draft picks who aren't going to help you till 2028. Like they're – as long as they're committed to this, we're sticking with our guys – then they need young pieces that will help sooner than later. And so maybe that explains why you take a couple guys who are a couple years older and a little further along as opposed to a draft pick this year or whatever. The other move they make is they deal for Kuznetsov at half retained. And I should point that out because I said I wasn't all that certain that Washington was being honest with their assessment that we're looking to help get this guy a new start in a new place, and that's why we're going to send him to the minors. When they were given the opportunity to trade him away and retain half, they did do it, and he's in the NHL. He's played one game at the time you and I sit here right now. He looked pretty good. So we'll see. Maybe it blows up in their face. Maybe it's not. He's never going to be what he was in the 2018 playoffs again. But if he can come back at $4 million or just shy of that for Carolina, that could be an interesting center group. If he's just sort of 70, 75% of what he once was, that guy's probably worth it.
Well, and has there ever been a guy who screams Rod Brind'Amour-type player more than Evgeny Kuznetsov?
Yes.
Like that, I look at that and go, man, that's a match made in heaven.
Match made in hell.
That's only bettered by Ryan Johansson and Tortorella. Yeah. Like, there you go, for sure, man, that's going to happen.
Was that worth the risk to you? For Carolina to bring in Kuznetsov? And
it would have been a slam dunk, sort of taken a wave at, if he didn't have money still, if there wasn't still seasons on it.
I think it's only one more, though.
But it's a very frugal franchise, right? Like,
yeah.
They have not gone ahead and...
They don't do a lot of rental stuff at all.
And they have shown that they are not interested in doing it all. And I understand that last year was the year when they looked so good but couldn't score for the life of them. Right, last year. And so they're like, yeah, okay, we're not going to turn our back on talent. I'm just surprised that this is where they went. It's not just a pure rental.
I think it's the most high risk move that was made at the deadline, right? Like, this could blow up in your face. Even if his personal issues are behind him, he may just not have it anymore and you're stuck for an extra year with $4 million. But if he's gotten his life back on track in a way that allows him to be pretty close to what he once was, even if not quite, at $4 million, that's a slam dunk for them at 2C, right? Like behind Aho and
yeah. Had it been on a rental, and I get the price is virtually nothing.
Yeah.
That they've sort of taken part of that salary and him off Washington's hands.
Yeah.
But it seems like you've taken, and you're like, we don't do that.
Right.
We don't do that. And you're like, oh, we're going to do that. Not just for this year, but for next year. For a guy who you are hoping that his personal issues are the biggest part of his problem.
Yeah.
Right? We don't even know that isn't,
nope.
That is, it's not his love for the game and his desire to do what he needs to do has gone, not just whatever those.
But they've taken some risks, right? They've gone and got Brent Burns when it looked like he might have been washed. They took a swing with Pacioretty, brought him in. It's not their fault. His Achilles exploded again. Like,
yeah, to me, the biggest things beyond, like Burns, to me, I get what you're saying, but that's a guy who, if you put him in that system, he was probably going to be fine. It's the D'Angelo thing that they've sort of continually flirted with and done. That's the bigger risk of all those.
Yep.
Guentzel is a guy who I will be, there's been so much knob slobbering over that guy in the past 2 weeks for a guy who was a third round pick, I think, eventually, who has done his best Pascal Dupuis.
Oh, come on. He's better than that.
He's a two-time 40-goal scorer.
Yes.
I get it.
I think Pascal Dupuis is a two-time 14-goal scorer.
Yeah. No. Come on, man.
17.
Yeah. So I am short-selling, and there's people who are going to be like up in arms about this, but I just don't know if Gensel was the most, should have been the most highly sought after trade deadline piece.
Now, again, they only trade a couple of B prospects.
Yeah, he does have 33 goals in 52 playoff games.
Yep.
People say.
And last year.
That's not a bad.
Last year, they were without Svechnikov as well when they went into the playoffs and couldn't score. Now they're going to put him back in. They're going to have Gensel back in. We'll see what happens with Kuznetsov. But they have gone out. If their biggest issue was, hey, we can't score.
Yep.
They've done their best to patch that up.
Right. They brought talent in.
Unlike some losers.
Yeah. I keep hearing about these losers. There's losers, ladies and gentlemen. There's losers. It comes down to, and I'm sorry to the Gensel family. I'll wait and I'll see if he does it without being in the black and yellow, right, of Pittsburgh.
Black and yellow, black and
yeah,
black
I just want to see what happens when he's not skating predominantly with either Crosby or maybe potentially Malkin, right? Yeah. Whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
If he goes out and does his own thing, because you look at how his stock just sort of shot through the roof.
And again, part of that was a weak deadline crop, right? Of
yep.
guys.
Yeah, yeah. So. I think they have done, they've done interesting stuff. And as you suggested, it was Scott Wheeler, I think, who said, yeah, their picks were like a 5, 8, and a 9 in the Carolina system that Pittsburgh got back for him. So you're like,
yeah.
Man, that's the best you could do?
Well, it seems like, right? As long as you view it through the lens that they've decided we're not tearing it down, then you take pieces that are 21, 22, maybe can play next year instead of higher upside that right. won't play for yeah. 3 or 4 years.
We'll take lesser talent if it plays sooner. Can yeah. we do that?
That's the only read I can make on that, right?
Yeah,
is what they
but
did.
That to me is...
it's not a great strategy.
That's not a great strategy. No. We'll take less, but more. I want quantity over quality.
I'll take your shit as long as it's going to arrive
lots
sooner.
Lots of it. And can I have lots? Can I have lots of it? That's like going to the Pizza Hut. All you can eat pizza. That's
30 not, minutes are free.
It's not,
right.
good, it's not good pizza, but I'll eat lots of it. How
yeah.
about that?
Yeah.
The thing, there's just two more things in terms of winners,
mm-hmm.
Not losers, Matt.
Right.
Losers. I kind of like what Florida did, as in not a lot, right? Now, the two goals for Tarasenko on Saturday night looked pretty good.
He looks good.
Yeah, and he loved it. He seemed to be celebrating goal scoring like it seemed to be there was a little more exuberance.
Sure. Zoob.
Did I say Zoob?
No.
Okay.
Exuberance. Pulling Zoob.
Okay.
From
I say
it.
A lot of shit. Sometimes I'm not even thinking.
Yeah.
The Okposo thing. I don't know. Whatever. That's a nice. Yeah, that's a give sure. that give that guy a shot.
Yeah.
But when your team is already kicking ass,
mm-hmm.
and you get this sort of not a freebie, but you get Tarasenko dropped in your lap.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice. What they've done isn't too much. And it's funny that Tarasenko...
Don't shake it up too much.
Tarasenko at times have been skating on Ottawa's third line.
Yeah.
And I see they dropped him right in their top line.
Sure.
And you go, that team is in 28th place, and we're going to put him on our second or third line. That team's in first place. Oh, look at him. He's on our top line.
Yeah. And they have some assets to spread out, right? That was one that I talked about a little bit with Bunda, where it would allow them, if they wanted, to move... Verhaeghe around if they wanted to do yeah. something there. Spread it out with Bennett and Tkachuk yeah, yeah. and Sam Reinhardt. And it's just a piece. And so, you know, is he necessarily still a first-line guy? Probably not. Can he play on their first line? Probably, right? If it's going to be floated by two,
yeah.
like Barkov and, I don't know, Tkachuk or whatever they want to do down there.
Yeah, is it Reinhardt? Whoever's on the other
side? I think Reinhardt was on the other. But they've done some shuffling
yeah.
anyway now that they've I like that ad for them.
For sure. And just if I can quickly in a side address the whole senator thing.
I'd like to too, yeah.
I was completely fired up about that. I didn't have all the deets, if you will. To me, but as I've come around to it and you sort of look at it and you go, okay, if the fourth round pick or maybe a third round pick if they go to the cup final is for retention.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We were all well advised. You're not going to get a first again for Tarasenko.
Yeah.
Second. Maybe you do a second.
Maybe you do a second.
Right. Yeah. So then what it really comes down to is you are dealing with one team only and you get a third for him instead of the second. So really what I was fired up about, and it seems ridiculous in hindsight, is it's not a second, it's a third. That's what it comes down to.
And to present all the facts, Ottawa was handcuffed. They had given him a no trade clause, and he has said multiple times now since he was, I wasn't waiving for anybody but Florida. Now, that's a Pierre Dorion issue. If you're bringing this guy in and you're only bringing him in for 1 year, he's a rental, and it's so you can get an asset at the deadline, don't give him a no move. Like, if that's the whole reason to bring him in, if things go well and you're going to the playoffs, great, maybe you get to keep him. If not, you're going to flip him at the deadline for some assets. You completely neuter that whole plan. You completely screw yourself when you give him a no-move clause and he then gets to go, yeah, it's these guys or nothing. And so
it's this guy or nothing.
Well, as going to the Panthers, yeah.
These versus this.
I look at that, and I can't blame Steos for it. That's a mistake made, like many before it, by the previous regime.
Like what, Matt? Mistakes.
But it makes me just go, what was the thought process here? Like, you had to be able to foresee a situation where, you know, it didn't go all that well this year. We want to trade him at the deadline, and you gave him all the control. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I can't argue with that. I would have said it if you didn't say it.
Yeah.
So it was Chris Stevenson on with Creech on the post game or pregame, doesn't matter, at West, who said, yeah, I think there's something to the fact that they likely finishing 6 points out last year never saw themselves in a position that they would be so far out of the playoffs at the trade deadline that they would be looking to scupper the lineup, right? So
let me ask you this about the Sens then, quickly, before we move off of this.
Because they're not even on the loser list. Although they could be.
Yeah, they're not on my loser list. It was a loser move, but I see bigger losers. This is called foreshadowing.
Yarr! There's losers on the horizon.
If you are Steve Steos, and you legitimately believe, and maybe he didn't, so I'm trying to be like, I've already said I don't believe this is his fault, his hands were tied before this situation arose, but would you have considered saying to Tarasenko and to Florida, yeah, that's not good enough, I'm not gonna do this just for the sake of doing it, just to get something? Would you look a little bit at, I'm a new GM, I need to set a reputation, I need to set myself up as someone who doesn't just give in? And the thing I think back to is 2 years ago when Zach Hyman left for Edmonton and the Oilers were trying to give the Leafs like a seventh to do the sign and trade so they could get the eighth year. And right. Dubas didn't want to do it. He said it had to be a fifth or whatever the negotiation was. And it was because you're still a competitor of mine. I don't need to help you unless you meet a price that I've set. And so he goes, and they have to sign him to a little higher cap hit for 7 years as opposed to being able to lower it over 8 years. But Dubas took some shit in this market, or not in this market necessarily.
Always in this market
yeah, maybe,
sure,
yeah.
Man.
But, you know, for not getting something instead of, or for getting nothing instead of getting something. And I just wonder in this situation if Steos might have said, you know what, yeah, that's not the right price. Instead of your third and your fourth, we'll take 1 second. And if you're not doing it, then Tarasenko, you'll finish the year here. And Florida, you'll raise your price if you want them that bad. I think there was a chance there. Do you know what I'm saying? To set yourself up.
I understand. And it's two sides of the same coin, right? You're saying, I don't want to be seen as a pushover. This is my first move as an NHL GM.
Yeah.
I don't want to be seen to be taken advantage of. I think everybody understands. First of all, I hope that's not the case. As a Senators fan, I'm going to go
that he's a pushover. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can't say that definitively after one deal.
So I choose not to go down that route, but I understand it's a legitimate thing that you're saying. You're like, hey, man, you got squeezed. But
do you just take what you can get, or do you go, yeah, no, not good enough?
And at the end of the day, I'll take the third and the fourth over nothing.
Okay.
Whether those are things that get flipped into Pierre Dorion style. He's traded away all of our picks in terms of moving up for something else. Just leverage for something else.
Yeah.
I also choose to look at it, and it was actually Mike Johnson was talking about it the other night on SportsCenter, and he was saying that he looks at more as if you as a GM play the hard line with Tarasenko or whoever and say, yeah, you're not going.
Right.
That other free agents look at it and go,
yeah.
Do I want to do that? If at the end of the day he's going to be like, no, forget it. We're going to be spiteful and we're going to...
See, I don't think it's spiteful. I think this is my first day on the job or my first deadline day on the job.
So to double back then, so what we're talking about is the third versus the second.
I would have taken 1 second over a third and fourth, right? So that's the way you would sell it to Florida rather than... Two picks, it's one, but it's got to be a little higher. I'm with you. You're not getting a first for that.
So where's the retention?
That's probably part of making it a second, right?
Give me the second, so the fourth gets wedged.
But that's the same as
to make a second.
This is the this is the same as the Johansson for Sean Walker, right? Sean Walker was not worth a first round pick, but getting Philadelphia to pay the rest of Johansson's contract out makes, instead of there being two picks, we're going to have one bigger pick.
And this fan base would have been appeased by that second.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. Anybody who thought he was getting a first.
Yeah, no, it was never happening.
And maybe let's talk about, just briefly in an aside, not, it doesn't even have to do with Tarasenko. To me, it's the idea, and it's very anecdotal, but that you get traded for a first last year, it seems like, No, you're not going to get a second again the next year. It's like your value decreases every time you get traded.
Right.
There is a devaluation to that. And it's like when he got traded last year, he probably wasn't a first round pick worthy last year.
Right. But if he had come to Ottawa.
But he had the history last year going to the Rangers and his playoff experience. And you're like, yeah, that guy can get it done. And so you're like, you're paying for maybe not as much for now, but for the history. But this year he's got a further year of sort of decline.
Age, yeah.
And you go, nah, there's no way, man. You don't wait at first, but he was a slam dunk first last year. But this year it was like, nah. And it feels like that's the case, right? That there is this sliding value.
Sure. Now, if he'd had a slightly better, and it's not like he was bad in Ottawa. He was up and down in Ottawa.
He actually, despite only having 17 goals, I think he was upwards towards 45 points.
Right.
Like, to me, he was actually...
And as a proven playoff performer.
Was a better value than I expected.
Right.
To be honest with you, in terms of his fuller, more complete game, there was a lot I liked about him.
Right.
That I didn't expect to before he came. I thought he was only about goals.
I got goals. One of them is to go get another beer and then talk about some losers.
Okay, but before you get another beer and we talk about losers.
I don't like when anybody puts anything between me and my next beer.
Yeah. Nobody puts beers.
Make
in
it
the corner.
Quick.
Yes. Is when you look at the winners, just to put a bow on this winner talk before we talk about losers.
Yeah.
And really, it's loser.
I got two.
All right.
I got one far more prominent than the other, but I do have two.
Well, and really, my bow will lead into your Scotch tape or whatever it is that we're going to go with here. The winners all in the West.
Yeah.
Like, to me, you had what we thought at the beginning.
Like I said, I you and I disagree a little. I think Carolina is in the winner class. Not as big as some of the others,
okay.
I think they're a winner. Yeah.
Sorry, you're in the second wave of winners.
Yes.
Where the winner is you.
But that we looked at the beginning of the season, you went, okay, you know, there's a couple of top heavy teams in the West, but the better teams are in the East. And I just look at now, the better teams in the West just became better and better. And it's like, man, the East is wide open, but really there was a lot of inactivity. The top end of the East, Florida, very subtle, Carolina, maybe a bit more of a splash, but
there was some talk and maybe New York would go reacquire Vetrano. They didn't do it. Like there's,
but anyways, just the top Jersey. Heaviness. Yeah. Jersey. Loser.
Yeah. They got Jake Allen now.
I said that last week. Did I not?
I don't know. Did you?
Yeah.
You say a lot of things.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. But when we talked about Jersey saying, you know, if you had Saros and Markstrom and you're like, what about a Jake Allen, right? In that situation. So that was where I sort of looked at the number of the music's going to stop and the chairs are only so many. But just, the number of winners in the West and either
Dallas going out and getting the Tanev thing done before
that's a sweet deal. Yeah. And he didn't even make it into the winners talk, right?
Right.
And so it just is, I'll be fascinated to see what happens in the West in terms of now you have to, in both those divisions out West, the Pacific and the Central, you got killers who are going home in the first round.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the case in the East.
No, perhaps not.
Maybe Boston, Toronto. We'll see what happens there.
Losers. Taking a break.
So who won? The losers?
No, they lost.
Losers.
What am I doing?
I think we're having another beer. What have you selected, sir?
Are we on air?
This thing in
is
front of me?
Is this working? Okay. That's how this works, is it?
Yeah. When you sit down in front of a microphone and... Yes.
Yes. I'm still working on that second Baltic Porter.
Okay.
It's delicious, just for the record. No, but what I just cracked here was... And I am completely ready and prepared to pan it. Mm. I just grabbed it on the way over here. I thought, this is the Crowdsurfing. Crowdsurf?
Yeah.
Have you had it?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much for...
Waiting for you to meander around or whatever. Here. Yeah.
Flying Monkey.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which I am not a fan of traditionally.
Oh.
This is the Crowdsurf Passion Fruit IPA.
Okay.
Coming in at a sultry 7.0%.
Oh, my God.
So we'll see how this goes, because I actually drank one.
Before the show.
Before the show, and found, like most things Flying Monkey, it tastes a little boozy. It is passion fruity. To me, you're always getting what they say they're selling.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a little electric for me. It's got that sort of, it's not hoppy enough. It's a little boozy. But it is in, if you want a little nod in the pro category, it is passion fruity.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not traditionally a huge fan, but I like passion fruit. I got a lot of passion, Matt.
I like a lot of, I can't say a lot. I like a few of their things. The Galaxy Defender with those Sparkle Tough.
Matt's high school nickname.
Sparkle Puff.
Sparkle Puff.
Galaxy Starfighter Defender of the Universe.
What is there? Is
it's
that
like
the,
a, it's a triple.
Is that the creamsicle
IPA.
Orange creamsicle one?
No,
because
it's an IPA that is very IPA-y.
So, anyways, this to me is par for the course with the Flying Monkey stuff. I just I don't love it.
Okay,
but it's boozy, and we're gonna get it under our helmet.
Yeah, I have gone in the complete opposite direction.
As you should.
Yeah. One of us has to try and keep this thing on the road. We got losers to talk about. This is from the Old Dog Brewing Company in Bob Cajun. And it's one I've mentioned multiple times before. It is their Cerveza, the Chihuahua Mexican Lager. And it's coming in at about 3.8%.
Matt's balls have not dropped, clearly.
They've rescinded or...
elevated.
Sure. Yeah. It's an all right beer. It's got a little flavor to it for a light lager still. So one of us will do our best to.
Have you had that before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's a great summer beer. I don't really know how it was still hanging around in the back of the fridge, but.
Summer's coming.
Summer appeared last week like it might be here. Well,
I think this week again, it could.
Sure.
Be on its way back.
Well, that'd be super. And in honor of that, I'm having the Chihuahua Mexican Light Lager, Cerveza, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Chihuahua.
Oh, my God. All right. Let me talk about a team that I think is a little bit of a loser before we get to the big losers. And I'm just curious why you think Calgary agreed when trading away Hanifin to a division rival. They said, yeah, we'll take your 2025 first. And Vegas said... Yeah, that's fine, unless we come up with something better to do with it, in which case you can wait for our 2026 first. And Calgary went, yeah, all right, I guess. And that's sort of the way this played out. They had the option, Vegas did, without, like, normally this option waits until like the draft, right? If we finish in the bottom 10, yeah, we get to keep it or things like that. This was entirely Vegas's decision. And at like 5 minutes to three on trade deadline day, Vegas goes, yeah, actually, we're going to take that pick. We're going to give it to San Jose because they're clearly drunk as fuck over there and prepared to give us Hurdle for nothing. And we'll
start the car.
Right. So we'll give them our 2025 first and you'll wait for 2026. Can you think of a single reason why Calgary should have agreed to that?
None.
Yeah.
None. And that thing we were talking about with Steos just a second ago.
Yeah.
Mm. Craig Conroy is now coming to the end of his first full year.
Yeah.
There's been some suspect shit going on down there.
Yeah.
In terms of you had three of the top five, like in terms of Lindholm, Tanev, Hanifin, and maybe you want to throw Markstrom in there?
And Zadorov earlier in the year, who you traded in division.
Yeah, and you go, you got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's a, if it's not a D, it's a,
yeah,
an F plus.
Never seen one of those.
Yeah.
Like if you're getting an F, but it's a plus, right? Like,
you were close.
I think you just get the F.
You were super close. That's my grade 10 auto mechanics course where my teacher's like, I'm going to give you a 51, which is really the F plus, right? He's like, you showed up here in nice clothing and you were a super nice guy.
I don't believe any of that.
I was well dressed.
Yeah, okay.
I was well dressed. I had a lot of cash in high school and we're good. Yeah, Conroy has done to me, there's zero reason you go, no, I'm not going to wait. Because they fancy themselves as retooling, not rebuilding.
Well, and they also pissed off Markstrom and then kept him. Like he had said all along, I hate this. Don't come talk to me. I got a no trade. Don't come talk to me unless this is like done aside from my signature. So they came and said, we think we got a deal with New Jersey. Would you waive? And he goes, yeah, all right. And then like 3 days later, like, we're not doing it. And then kept him at the, like, I guess Jersey circled back and said, we will now do the deal without you retaining. And Calgary still said no. So Markstrom has spoken out in the media and said, this was not a good experience.
He was not happy about that, Matt.
No, he was not. And so you traded away everything else, probably didn't get the return you could have. And then the thing you didn't trade away is pretty pissed to still be there.
You should have let that go too.
Right.
And just went, yeah, all right, we don't have a better option in goal, but
yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with him. Right. And if you look at another minor loser in the Boston Bruins, who their biggest trade chip is the defending Vezina Trophy winner.
Yeah.
And he's got a 16 team. How many 16 teams?
About half, yeah, half the league.
I know, but how you hear of a 10? The 16 seems...
Well, it's all arbitrary. You can pick whatever you want if they'll give it to you.
I guess. It's just, I've never heard of a 16 team.
Right.
That's
how Phaneuf ended up in Ottawa. He's like, they'll never trade me in division, so I'm not putting them on my no trade list. Get out of here! You're going.
He's
going
to do it. Once again, hit the start the car clip because that is the thing.
That anniversary just passed like 2-3 weeks ago of that trade. And I look at everything Toronto got back and was like, all garbage, but totally worth it. Right? Like that was fine.
Yeah. All garbage, expiring garbage.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, just hold on to that.
Yeah.
Now, clearly they felt like Dion was, you're going to get something out of Dion.
And they did. Like He was miscast in Toronto as a number one D. Coming into Ottawa as a second pair guy, he was fine.
But you ever see
overpaid,
a guy,
but fine.
Yeah, well, and that was always a rap on him.
Yeah.
A guy who skated like he had the shithouse shuffle or like his pants were around his ankles already. Like he's like, there's like a hardcore wiggle in a...
Yeah, love a hardcore wiggle.
Yeah. Well, everyone loves that. It just, yeah. I guess if it was just the 2017 run alone, which he was a big part of.
Yeah.
You kind of go, all right.
Had a game winner at some point, didn't he, in those playoffs?
Against Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah, game one.
Right.
I do not look back.
Where the fuck were you in 2013?
Yeah. I do not look at the Dion years and go, ah, oh, that's terrible. Because then LA took him.
And like what Ottawa gave up, they didn't miss either.
Right.
Right? Like, so who gives a shit?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you're like, okay, so LA took him and we retained a bit of cash there, but... he's gone, right? Like, to me, he was far from the biggest problem.
Yeah. Let's talk about some big losers.
Perfect, Matt. Who do you have in mind?
Your Toronto Maple Leafs go out.
Losers! Losers! You're only about a month too early, though.
Yeah. That was the best. After the Edmondson trade, someone tweeted out, I can't remember who it was, like, Toronto's not getting pushed around in these fucking playoffs. We're losing fast, but we won't be pushed around doing it.
I love it. I love it.
I'm sure you do.
I do.
They went out. I can't even remember when it happened. You've probably been in since the Labushkin trade.
Yeah, which I don't mind.
Yeah. So they go out and they bring back Labushkin. My beef with that one was, hey, you tried that a couple of years ago when his underlying numbers actually suggested there was one or two things he could help you with. He came in. It didn't go very well as Morgan Riley's partner, and you let him leave. Now you've brought him back.
Well, because you would have had to overpay to keep him.
Yeah, Buffalo gave him 2.7. Yeah. I think when we traded for him, he was making 1.1 or whatever. So, get the fuck out of here.
Beat it.
So now someone else is giving him 2.7, and I've got people in my mentions saying, well, you're not paying him 2.7. You did pay two teams to retain to get him back down to what you... So it's not like it wasn't anything, right? You still had to get that number back down. But okay, fine. I view it as this was a mystery box last time. Now it's not. You viewed it. It didn't work, and you've reacquired him anyway. Whatever. We can do that.
And he's not going to play anyway, so don't worry about it, Matt.
He's going to play. He's very much going to play a lot. Then you went out. You got Joel Edmondson. One scout apparently saying to Toronto media, oh, his cross-check's worth a draft pick alone. This will be the year that NHL referees remember, oh, right, we should call those in front of the net. I promise you, the series will swing on a five-minute major by Joel Edmondson in a crucial moment. That's coming. Buckle up. Be ready. You've wanted to bring him in to be a third pair, penalty kill kind of guy, from the worst defensive team in the league where he was playing third pair minutes on what is now a well-acknowledged to be broken back. I get that Leaf fans remember what he did to us in 2021. This is not the same fucking
player. Was he part of the Trident?
He was part of the Trident. Let's do it all. Bring them all back.
Where's Sherratt and whatever that guy?
Where's Sherratt at?
Yeah. He's in...
It was Brett Kulak.
Kulak!
Maybe Shea Weber was also part of that.
So
that,
sorry, Edmondson, you're out. It was Sherratt,
Kulak. It was Brett Kulak who was out.
Yeah.
I'm not done.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. You can take it.
At least...
Who was out in the last minute of that 3-2 win on Saturday night?
It was
your boy, Joel.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Taking up lanes.
We managed
stick.
To scrape by the powerhouse Montreal Canadiens by one. That was awesome. Nailed it. You had Anaheim and I don't even remember. Carolina, I guess, was the second part of that team who retained on Labushkin. Then Washington already had Edmondson retained. And so they retain again. And we get him at a quarter price. You go, okay, you're keeping your cap options open. There's something else coming because you've paid to get this number down so it'll fit for you to do something else. Connor Dewar. That's the last move. Another David Kampf, except smaller. That's what we needed. That's what you paid other teams to retain salary on so that you could go get Connor Dewar.
I love it.
I expected that they would do something bigger, and apparently they just couldn't do her. It's saving that.
Hey-o!
You know what? This was a time I said to you weeks ago, don't go all in. This is not the team to go all in. And they did not go all in.
Yeah.
But they still spent a whack of draft picks.
Three, four, five?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think that's it.
And... another one too, to the Dewar. There was two picks in each of the first two deals and then one for Connor Dewar.
You kept those crazy blue chippers, Minton and Cowan. Like, what's the problem?
Seen what Easton Cowan's doing this year in London? It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, Fraser Minton's ceiling is third line C.
Yeah, so at London.
We might need one of those. We need one right now.
Where's that Dvorak kid at?
Fuck that guy, too. Fucking losers. I look at this And I say, you didn't solve your dilemma at 2/3C. You didn't solve your right-handed defenseman problem by going out and getting Joel Edmondson and Ilya Lyubushkin.
Sean Walker.
Whatever.
Colin Miller.
Connor Dewar is a reasonable PK guy, but he is literally a clone of David Kampf. And my biggest problem with all of this, man, every single year we come back and go, hey, the Leafs didn't score enough next year. And meanwhile, the media is saying they need to get tougher. They need to get bigger. They need to be able to shut it down. And did we do anything to address being able to score more? No. Did we get slower and less talented again? Yes, we did. Just Matt, like the last several fucking years. You Ilya losers!
Ilya Samsonov, 12-2 since his return, man. Why you have to be mad?
Yeah. Give you some smiles is Samsonov's line.
Hey.
I get some smiles.
Come on, man. Like, if things are going well in the land of Big Blue.
Are they? Yeah.
They just are, man.
Scraped by Buffalo, scraped by Montreal, got whacked twice by Boston.
That's okay.
That's what happened.
When are you going to see those guys again?
Yeah. When indeed.
Oh, wait. I know when.
Boston goes out and trades for Pat Maroon.
Fat Balloon.
Oh, you and Jack Edwards just shaming the guy. Guess, in case anyone hadn't figured out who Joel Edmondson's five-minute major was going to be committed against, it will be
Fat Balloon.
Pat Maroon.
Oh.
This was
not Pat Balloon.
This was
stupid.
The most generous possible interpretation I could give you of this trade deadline for the Toronto Maple Leafs is that you decided the penalty kill was the biggest problem. And it was a problem. I have no problem suggesting that, or no issue admitting that, because I don't want to use the word problem too many times like I already did, one of my many flaws. If that was your determination, then I think there's a chance Connor Dewar, Joel Edmondson, and Ilya Lyubushkin might be able to help you there. Otherwise, got all the exact same issues you had a week ago, and now you have far less draft picks. You don't think you could have put those 2/3 and one of the fifths in and gotten Toffoli? That might have helped.
Ah, losers!
So let me ask you this. Clearly you're 100% satisfied with all that's gone on. As a guy who did stand here 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever that was, and said, yeah, don't do anything. The 3, 3, 4, and a 5, you find that to be too, without trading away any kind of.
We'd still have them if we'd done nothing.
So to me, you have essentially stood pat. Like, I don't think there's.
But traded shit to do it.
But you have.
You don't understand that would annoy me? You paid to get not better.
Well, you haven't paid to get worse. Do you think you paid
to
get worse?
Are you certain of that?
Well, there's very little that I'm certain of. So you would have preferred they do nothing?
If you told me you can keep all these draft picks or you can have Ilya Lyubushkin, Connor Dewar, and Joel Edmondson, keep your shit. And like on Saturday night in Montreal, Simon Benoit gets sat down for Joel Edmondson. What's the fucking difference? You traded away picks. Simon Benoit has actually been one of your very few success stories this year.
I've actually been impressed with that guy.
So have I.
In the limited.
So play him.
Cross checks, Matt. Cross checks.
I'm reasonably certain you can teach that guy to cross check someone.
No, you got it or you don't. You got it or you don't. And Joel Edmondson has a Stanley Cup ring.
That was 5 years ago, and
your boy Benoit does
back
not
surgeries ago.
Yeah, he's out there. Final minute.
And this is the part that's making me the most crazy. When you go and you
do it.
When you acquire Simon Benoit this year, and this is the comparison that everybody's making. Well, he was on a terrible team. And look, when he got here, got some coaching, got put in a better system, he looked pretty good.
He is the heir to the Benoit Balls fortune.
And you, thank you for that. So you're like, why wouldn't the same thing happen with Joel Edmondson? Well, one's 32, one's like 23 for starters. Edmondson's actually 30. But the argument was, hey, Anaheim's bad. And so when you bring a piece from there to here, it will work. In the last 8 months, we've brought in 3 of their defensemen. Anaheim is bad for a reason. It's not that Anaheim makes everyone bad, and when you take a piece out, they get good. We have...
Get good!
Labushkin, Anaheim defender. Benoit, Anaheim defender. Klingberg, Anaheim defender. Stop trading for Ducks! It's not going to make your... We have three guys in our organization that have been a part of the Anaheim... Why?!
It'll essentially, your record against Ottawa this year was 1-3.
Essentially, yes, that's what it was.
It will assure you wins against Ottawa.
We're out of games against Ottawa.
Ottawa can't beat Anaheim, so there's interdivisional wins right there, Matt.
You can't just assume if Edmondson wasn't good enough to play higher than sixth defenseman 15 minutes a night in Washington. Why do you think he's going to be good for you against Boston over seven games when you're, in theory, a better team than Washington, although creeping towards them every day?
There is a lovely thing happening there, a little symmetry, movement. It's like a dance. It's lovely. It's
how about you take Rasmus Sandin? We'll take Joel Edmondson. We'll see what happens.
We'll extend Sandin. Matt, it's... I don't think it's as big a deal as you do.
Clearly. But your mental health isn't...
Yeah, tied to it.
Right.
But you're too close. You're too close.
I'm not too close. I'm 4 hours away.
No, you're very close. It's very much under the surface, right there under the skin.
You think this was a successful trade deadline for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I don't think it was unsuccessful. I would say it was benign.
When you had very few picks and assets to begin with, you'd trade them away to be benign.
Yeah,
you trade stuff to be benign.
To me, the thing is, you didn't spend a pile. I don't care about your two-thirds, your fourth, and your fifth. I really don't.
We kind of have to because we have nothing else. We don't have a second-round pick until they're done paying Thomas Hertl.
You didn't part with any of your, air quotes, blue chippers. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, at the end of the day, you have more options than you did before. You've maybe made yourself slightly more resilient.
Or slow. Or bad.
Okay? And if it doesn't work, you go in a different direction. But if you're looking
at... What is that? What is the other direction?
Well, you go back with Benoit.
Okay. They're the same guy.
But they're not. One is the cross-checking king and one is not. And at the end of the day...
I believe he's capable of cross-checking someone should the need arise.
You guys are on an island in third place.
Yep.
Like, you're not slipping into a wild card, and you are not likely to make it up into that second spot.
Nope. Maybe we were a week ago, till we got whacked twice.
Yeah. No, because you're now 8 points, I believe, behind...
Sure. I don't know. 1,000.
Behind Boston. Maybe. And 9 or 10 behind Florida. Yeah. So you're getting Florida or Boston.
It's true.
A preference, Matt?
It's always gone well.
Do you have a preference?
I think I said a week or two ago it was Boston. Just because I think they're weak up the middle.
Yep. Yep.
That's it.
And they didn't do jack shit either.
They got Pat Maroon.
They didn't do jack shit either, Matt. And if you look at that Ullmark win...
To be fair, to be clear to anyone listening right now, I am not suggesting the Leafs should have gone and got Pat Maroon.
To the Pat Maroon family?
Right.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Leave them marooned in Boston.
I don't want to get fucking marooned out here.
No.
So, the preference is Boston, and I
said then, like I'll say today, I still think Toronto's the underdog, but I think you got a better shot there, despite last week. I think Florida might be the best team in the league.
If you were Boston, would you have traded Ullmark?
Depends for what. For PLD?
No.
That was the rumored deal that fell apart, right, that they were talking about that, and Ullmark was the one who scuffled that.
That guy is a big old boy.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with you, but if they're that worried about their center ice position, I don't know whether they think I think he's better than Charlie Coyle, right? Yeah, or
for sure. Yeah. I think you bring in, and you saw what PL Dubois did against Toronto in the bubble?
In 2020 in the five gamer.
You looked pretty good there. If that was going to be your first round
Crippled
match.
Crippled Muzzin finished his career.
Okay. See, look, we're just, you're selling it, Matt, actually. You're selling it. We're Sweeney. Get Sweeney on line one.
Yeah.
I think Dubois is a guy who could be good in short spurts. That's a guy who I think for the regular season, he's a hard guy to coach up,
all right.
Inspire. He's not a self-starter. I think he's a guy though who in a short playoff series,
yep,
could be, has been.
And when you're as desperate as Boston up the middle, I don't know if that's what I would have wanted to, like, Allmark's going to get you something, right? Whether it's now or over the summer. He's got a year left. I don't know if that's what I would have for sure wanted to spend my biggest asset on, but I would have considered it. I for sure would have looked at that as going, okay, now I slide that guy in the middle. I'm a little more comfortable, you know, with him against Matthews or and I'm sure Boston, they've won 7 in a row against Toronto in the regular season. They're comfortable against
but
Toronto.
But nothing recently.
Yeah. Nothing within the last 48 hours.
Not today, Matt.
Right.
Nothing's happened.
And
here.
I don't even know. Look, it's not good, but I don't know how much that stuff translates into. Like Toronto had gone 7 or 8-2 against Boston going into the 2018 playoffs and didn't mean shit either, right? So, you know, it sometimes things are just weird like that. But I don't think Boston is sweating Toronto. And even if Toronto, like, there's not a ton of history left, but Marner and Nylander and Matthews and Riley will remember 2018 and 2019 and how loud that building is and what happened. It's not the collapse of 2013. There's no one left from that roster, but there's a history there. So there might be a bit of a mind fuck, but I think lineup against lineup, Toronto should match up better against Boston.
The forwards is a slam dunk.
Yep.
It's a massacre,
yep,
really, in terms of,
yep,
of what happens up front. It's how yep, tilted,
yep,
the back end is.
Yep,
Boston over, or, and I wonder for a team that who is also looking to win now, they're not in a. If Allmark is a luxury you can't afford, mm-hmm, really,
mm-hmm,
if you want to win now, if you want to beat the Leafs, that's fine. You hold on to both of them.
Yeah,
but you name me one team in the league right now who has cup aspirations. Who, if they lose their starter,
isn't boned? Yeah, Boston's the only one.
Yeah, I can't think of another one.
No, actually, you're right. I was going to say Florida, but that was last year. They're going to Alex Stoller's.
Yeah,
Spencer Knight is down in the minors right now. It was Alex Lyon who got them in last year before Bobrovsky took over. I guess. Like, Vegas used, like, 5 goalies last year. Maybe they could do that again.
They're going to go with the shooter tutor. Really. It doesn't really matter. We're going to turn the net around and put a tie there.
Sure.
But
I see your point. Like, the contenders have all picked their guy. It's Demko. It's Skinner. It's Hellebuck. And it's Shesterkin and Bobrovsky. Like, up and down, the best teams, they've got their guy.
And it's to me, I don't have any time for the argument that says, well, if Swayman goes down, yeah, all right. If Swayman goes down, you're going to rely on your depth centers to help keep the. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
We're going to kill those attacks in the neutrals. Oh, no, we're not going to do that either.
Right.
So to me, it's just a luxury that Boston held on to that you just can't afford for a team who's looking to win.
Yeah.
And they clearly are.
Yeah.
Right? As a top 6 team in the league.
Why wouldn't they be? Yeah.
What are you doing? And so I saw the celebration afterwards. There was more high-fiving and grinding, whatever those two guys do in terms of.
Yeah, Allmark was apparently pretty emotional all week about getting to stay, and so.
Grinding is better than dry humping.
Twerking. How different is it all, really?
Spin around, give you a little. How about that? I'm that excited.
Please stop being that excited.
That excited. Well, I am.
I'm surprised that. Unless you got anything else on this, because
I am not surprised. I am Johnny 1,000 foot view.
Yeah,
you are. Sky is falling.
I'm not.
You are.
I'm not. The sky is falling.
Come on, man.
I'm saying this team isn't better today than it was a week ago, and it
are
is.
They worse?
It is. This is a ridiculous argument.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Because why would you spend pieces to just go, hey, we're not worse? That's my complaint. We're not better, and we spent to be the same. That's a dumb approach. And I know people are going to roll their eyes at this. You lost William Laugesen, who was probably your 7th best defenseman, but he was, by numbers, your best penalty kill D. So that wipes out my argument that I made a few minutes ago, that if your only thing was to improve the PK, you lost your best PK defender.
You took away your best part of it?
Well, the best PK defender you have for nothing. You lost him on waivers so you could fit Joel Edmondson on the team.
Blah.
Terrible.
I love it.
I get that.
I think
you spent money to be the exact same as you
were. Yeah. Lagesson, your postseason wasn't pivoting on Lagesson.
No. But we didn't have to lose him and spend to get his exact replacement. Or how, Simon Benoit's exact replacement.
How did
or,
you feel about Shen last year when he came in?
These are not even close to the same thing.
How did you feel about him last year?
I was not particularly excited. I didn't.
And how did you feel after the playoffs?
He was fine.
You felt like he was an upgrade?
I felt like he was fine.
You don't want to say upgrade?
Nope.
I think he was an upgrade.
Over what?
Whatever you had.
Yeah, well, you see, unless you can tell me what that was, it put Timothy Liljegren back in the press box. And I believe that guy moves the puck. I believe that guy is one of...
I believe Shen was probably your third best defenseman in the playoffs.
When you look at one of the biggest problems, and like I said, it's always been that they don't score enough. And part of that is not getting out of their own zone cleanly. Not breaking it out, not making a good breakout pass. Who's doing that this year? It's not Joel Edmondson. It's not Ilya Labushkin. It's not Jake McCabe. Like, it's Morgan Riley,
is it
and
Benoit?
That's it. It's not. So
oh,
why did
not.
You... You're making me crazy. You spent to fix none of your problems. Did we get worse? Who cares? We didn't get better. And we lost pieces. So when you look at that blue line, I have no idea what TJ Brody has left in the tank. He's looked okay on the left side. He's looked terrible on the right. I don't think, and I don't necessarily even blame him. I don't think Sheldon Keefe's going to trust Timothy Liljegren in the playoffs again. But it does mean you've got nobody. You got all this high skill up front and no one to get them the puck if Morgan Riley isn't on the ice. That's a problem, man. You almost had to, well, this guy cross-checks good, and this guy's physical, and this guy's got some snot, and it, fine. We have enough of it. At some point, somebody has to get the puck out of the zone.
Yeah, and you have stated here, whether it was last week or the week before, Adam Henrique. He said, I want that center.
Yep.
And not that's a, it.
Yep.
And that's it. You said
just a depth guy that I'd spend
that
on
guy.
That. Yeah.
It's not overly sexy or
right.
Branford sexy.
Right. Branford sexy we talked about.
And so you slot him in somewhere in the 2-3 spot.
Yep.
And it's a nice sort of low-key addition.
He goes between Bertuzzi and Nylander, Tavares, if you're married to having him at 3 with
Yarn. Do you not want him at center?
I want him at center, but whether he's at 2 or 3
yeah,
at this
yeah.
point.
And that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So
Yarncroke and Bobby McMahon maybe play with him. Yarncroke's the defensive conscience there. Henrique can defend a bit between Bertuzzi and Nylander.
Yep.
I think that all fits together a little bit. I liked that move for Edmonton, although as we kind of maybe move around here a little.
That's what we do, man.
Are you surprised that they went out and got Adam Henrique? And they have Nugent Hopkins, and in the first two games since, I mean, they already had Nugent Hopkins, but in theory, you could have McDavid, Draisaitl, Henrique, or probably Nugent Hopkins at 3, Henrique at 4, up the middle. They've got both Nuge and Henrique playing the wing. Henrique's been with Draisaitl, and Nuge is with McDavid, and we'll see in the playoffs. But I sort of thought that Henrique move would be to at least allow one of them to be your third line center. That surprised me a little.
Well, I look at it as the way Ottawa deploys Claude Giroux, right? That's a guy who's a 60% faceoff guy who plays the wing.
Yeah.
So it just allows you to...
Draisaitl's a good faceoff guy. McDavid's a good faceoff.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying it gives you more options on those top lines for when things are waived. To me, they went out and got two centers.
Yeah, Sam Carrick.
Right. Further down the lineup.
He was scratched on Sunday, which...
Yeah, right.
He's not a guaranteed in your lineup guy. I get that.
For sure. Yeah. But it's just in terms of the depth, it's to me, the question isn't so much how you deploy your forwards out there. It's you did not address the Cody Ceci issue.
No.
Right? Your second,
it's an issue.
Your second line right shot D.
Yeah.
Hello. hello. And I get it's hard. It's everybody's looking for a right shot D, right? And there's only so many, you know.
We have one. We're going to scratch him, though.
There's only so many times. Yeah. There's only so many times you could, and I'm so glad. Once Tanev got traded, you're like, okay, who else is a right shot D that we can talk about? Because this whole idea that Chris Tanev is the only useful right shot D.
Yeah.
But if you look at Walker, like
Colin Miller even I would have taken.
Okay, but if you are looking for Sean Walker in Edmonton, forget about the Henrique, forget about if they could have made that happen. Right? If they could have Edmonton could have went out and got Sean Walker and put him in with Nurse in that second pairing because it's so interesting to see how once Ekholm arrived and pushed Nurse back.
Yeah.
It's hurt. It's hurt Nurse because he's no longer.
It's hurt Nurse, but it's helped the team.
But this is what I'm saying, right? Is Nurse was a guy who benefited hugely by those frontline minutes, right?
Yeah.
Pushed back with CeCe, and you're like, now not only are you not on the ice with maybe McDavid in those control the ice moments.
Right.
You are pushed back and you have Cody CeCe and you are in this sort of spiral. This is this D-zone spiral where I'm not sure. Can we get the puck out? I don't know. Can you get the puck out? No. And so if they could have, to me, I would have much rather than them getting the two centers, if they could have picked up, and I'll key right on Sean Walker, to me as a 3-4 guy.
Yeah.
That would have been the doubling back to the chef kiss. That's what they needed, right?
Yeah. I still kind of like what they did. You're right.
No,
the D could have
dislike what they did either. But
I'm just surprised in the early returns how it's all being used. In theory, to me, at least one of Henrique or Nuge would be at 3C. They got both those guys playing wing on two different, and that we'll see, right? They've, as you've said, they've opened up options here going into the playoffs, and so we'll see what they do. But I assumed you brought in Henrique maybe to free up Nuge to go and be able to do that. And then yet here we are.
And I bet you once they get away from trade.
Yeah, they just played back to back this weekend. They haven't had a lot of time to.
This is, you get him in. This is the system.
Yeah.
This is how we run things. This is what we expect of you as that center. This is what
we have some practices.
Exactly. And we can sort of.
That is the one thing about Toronto. They don't play again until Thursday. So you can get home and see if you can figure something out.
Adam Henrique then is perfect for you, Matt.
That would have been an awesome idea. I wish someone would have thought of that. That's where we'll wrap this one up. We'll, going to be another good week around here. Always is. James Wood's going to be here.
This is a bonus.
Big Daddy Hammy.
Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. That's true. This wasn't always on the table. So.
But you're going to see Hardwood here in a couple days.
We'll see what that looks like. I don't really want to see it.
You're going to sell it, man. We're going to see Hardwood right here. Monday afternoon.
And as per usual, Lever in here later in the week. So. It'll be good.
Live from beautiful Bytown.
Allegedly. Make sure you're following along on social media at TallCanAudio and subscribed to the pod wherever you're hearing us right now. For Rob, my name's Matt. Have yourselves a great week.
See ya!
We've had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fun, but now the time has come to go. If this silkong was found dead in his bed tomorrow, I'd be in heaven still doing this show. See you some other time!